That was very good. This morning we are continuing our series this summer on the Lord's Prayer and how appropriate. We didn't plan it this way, but how appropriate for us to be talking about the petition in the Lord's Prayer this morning, Your Kingdom Come. When Pastor Vicki and I were talking about VBS and this series, and we didn't even think about the timing of this, but instead of having slides this morning, we built a castle for you to illustrate the kingdom of God. And as you can see, the kingdom of God is kind of a theme for our kids this week in Vacation Bible School. We are in Matthew chapter 6, and you know the Lord's Prayer. This morning we are focusing on the phrase, Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I think everybody here can identify with the following scenario. All of us have taken a child to McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, and all of us have ordered a meal and sat down and shared a meal at a restaurant like that with the child. And as an adult, you were the one that paid the bill, and you were the one that is providing the opportunity to enjoy that burger or that Happy Meal or those chicken nuggets and that pop or soda or whatever you call it. And you know, you finish your meal first, usually, because kids are easily distracted, right? I mean, it frequently happens. Matter of fact, I think this happened between me and Drew just maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, where I was done eating, and he was still eating, and I grabbed a French fry. And you know, the typical response when you're grabbing that child's French fry, they're like, "Hey, that's mine." Right? And you know, that didn't really happen between me and Drew. He offered a French fry, so he's grown out of that a little bit more. But with a little child, you'll grab that French fry and they'll say, "That was mine." And they'll kind of be indignant about it and upset. And I remember doing this with the boys when they were little, and in my mind going, "Who in the world do you think you are?" Yeah, in our house we call it a fry tax. I'm like, "That's a fry tax. Dad paid for that, so I'm gonna tax you and take a French fry." But that you know, the indignation that child will have about, "You stole my French fries." And I'm sitting here in my mind going, "Don't you know, child, that you wouldn't have those French fries unless I gave them to you? Unless I had worked and earned the money and thought enough to bring you with me to this restaurant? Because I could have snuck off on my own." Anybody done that before? "I could have snuck off on my own, but I chose to bring you with me. And I bought those French fries for you because I love you and I care for you and I wanted to see you enjoy it. And now that I want one back, you're all indignant with me. Who really owns the French fries? Who owns the French fries?" Sometimes our relationship with God can be like that. He really owns it all. He owns it all. But we can be like little children and fooling ourselves into thinking, "Hey, those are my French fries. Give them back." And we can get all worked up and indignant like, right? Who owns the French fries? This summer, we're studying in depth the Lord's Prayer. And last week we discussed how Jesus, He didn't give us the Lord's Prayer just as another Bible verse to memorize, right? We talked about this last week. The Lord's Prayer is not just a memory verse. It is a method on how we as disciples of Christ should pray to God. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray this prayer. It covers everything that we need to pray for. It covers absolutely everything we need to pray for life and to grow spiritually in Christ. We talked about how the Lord's Prayer as taught by Jesus smashed the conventional wisdom, the Old Testament thinking about how we relate to God. In the Old Testament last week, remember we talked a little bit about how God was kind of distant from the people. God was removed. God was only accessible through the temple, and He was untouchable. Because remember we talked about Uzzah trying to touch the Ark of the Covenant, and he was struck dead. So when Jesus comes teaching, when you pray, address God as Father, it's this astonishing, revolutionary teaching, and it mystified the teachers of that day. As a matter of fact, it probably offended the teachers of that day when Jesus taught us to pray our Father who's in heaven. In teaching his disciples how to pray, Jesus was establishing a new way for us to connect with God. He was establishing a new way. And I think today we just take that for granted because we're so used to praying. But this access to the Father in heaven is this incredible privilege that we have gained. And as followers, it allows us to uniquely connect with God in ways that weren't available before Christ did his work. Gone are the requirements to have a priest pray for us. Aren't you thankful that you don't have to come to church and say, Pastor Joe, Pastor Vicky, pray to God for me for this situation? You do that, and we'd love to pray for you. But as disciples of Christ, you don't have to come here, and you don't have to have us pray for you as ordained ministers, or have Brother Bill pray for you as an ordained minister. That's not the way it works in the kingdom that Jesus established. Instead, as disciples of Christ, you, as high priests, we're all high priests, folks, in the kingdom of Christ. You have direct access to the creator of the universe, and it's something that we shouldn't take for granted. Amen. Ushered in also is the reality for those who receive Christ as Savior, this awesome privilege of being adopted. We are adopted as children of God when we accept Jesus as Savior. And we have this new privilege of being able to affectionately approach God, to love him as a father, and to worship him for what he's done for us, our Father in heaven. Last week we also talked about how when we pray, hallowed be your name, that phrase is not a word you go around saying all the time, but when you pray, hallowed be your name, we are showing respect for God. We're showing respect for his grandeur, and we're honoring his authority, and we're observing the sacrifice that has been made to purchase our salvation. When we hallow God's name, we show respect. When we talk about when we pray, hallowed be your name, we also assume the appropriate heart posture to pray. It's not just about kneeling and folding our hands and closing our eyes, but it's making sure that our heart's in a good place for us to be able to connect with God. We talked about how whenever we invoke the words, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, we stand in holy ground. We stand upon holy ground, regardless of where you are. You can be at McDonald's in line waiting for your kids' French fries and pray, hallowed be your name. You're standing on holy ground. The Lord's Prayer makes our ability to connect with God possible. The Lord's Prayer makes our ability to connect with God practical. It's really impractical to have to come to church and connect with God. You can do it anywhere. It's also portable. So it's possible, it's practical, and it's portable. We can connect with God anywhere, anytime. And so today we're going to take just a couple of moments focusing on the petition, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, your kingdom come, it's packed with meaning. And I want to take a couple of moments to help us kind of really see what that petition and the Lord's Prayer means this morning. Because when we pray, Father, your kingdom come in my life on earth as it is in heaven, it really helps us understand and live into who really owns the French fries. All right? So first of all, praying your kingdom come simply acknowledges that God has a kingdom. God has a kingdom. We're acknowledging God's kingdom when we pray, your kingdom come. When we think of earthly kingdoms, What do you think of? What makes an earthly kingdom? What are some of the things that make an earthly kingdom? Help me out this morning.
A king.
A king. We need a king to have a kingdom. What else do we need?
Boundaries.
We need boundaries. What else did I hear over here?
Subjects.
We need subjects. We need citizens in a kingdom. We need borders. We need to build a wall. Kidding. What else do we need in a kingdom?
Authority.
We need authority. So we need a law, right? We need rules. What else do we need? We need an army. What else?
Taxes.
I was wondering. I thought that that was going to be the first one that came up. All of those things. We need a king. We need laws. We need boundaries. We need armies, taxes. We need courts. We need justice. All of these things make up a kingdom, an earthly kingdom. But the kingdom of God that we pray about in the Lord's Prayer is not of this world. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It is a heavenly kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom that exists. It really exists. It's not fantasy land. It's not once upon a time. The kingdom of God exists on another plane of reality this morning. And through Jesus Christ, we get a glimpse of God's kingdom and his reign. But folks, I'm telling you this morning, the kingdom of God exists. It's not of this world. It has no boundaries. And it shows up. God's kingdom shows up wherever the citizens of the kingdom show up. The government of this kingdom is pretty simple. In our government, in the United States of America, we have three branches, right? We have the executive branch, we have the legislative branch, and we have the judicial branch. In the kingdom of God, God is the executive branch. He is the rule maker. He is the giver of the law. He is the legislature, so to speak. And guess what? God is also the judge. I think it's very important for people of God's kingdom to realize that God is the judge and we are not. I think the church has lost its way and becoming a little distracted and thinking it owns judgment, when in fact God is the one who is the judge. People who have received Christ as Savior, who claim Jesus as personal Savior, we are the citizens of the kingdom. We are the citizens of the kingdom. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are essentially, think about this, when we pray, "Father, your kingdom come in my life on earth as it is in heaven," we are essentially pledging our allegiance to God in our lives. We're going to talk about what pledging allegiance to God in our lives means here in a little bit more detail in just a couple of moments. God has a kingdom. We acknowledge that when we pray, "Your kingdom come." God has a kingdom. Second, praying "Your kingdom come," it acknowledges that God's kingdom isn't here yet. When we think about the request of "Your kingdom come," we're acknowledging that God's kingdom isn't here yet and that it can come as an answer to prayer. "Your kingdom come" is a request for God's kingdom to come in our life and in our world. Praying "Your kingdom come" essentially means that God's kingdom needs to be prayed into this world. God's kingdom needs to be prayed in. We need to pray it in, church. We can't just sit back and expect somebody else to pray God's kingdom into the world. It is your job as a disciple of Christ to pray in the kingdom of God into your world, into your circumstances, into the strife, the pain, the suffering, the victories, the jubilee, the joy. It is your job as a disciple, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven." The world we live in is broken. This world we live in, folks, it is broken. The world's been turned upside down by sin. You ever feel that way sometimes when you watch the news or you just read it on your Facebook feed? You're like, what has the world come to? What should be right is wrong, and what's wrong has been declared right. And it just boggles my mind. What in the world is going on here? What's happened is sin has entered through the world through the choice of humanity. The mold has been broke. Creation has been broken. Things have been flipped upside down. But the good news is that Jesus came into the world to usher in the kingdom of God. And the purpose of the kingdom of God, the purpose of Christ, is to start righting things. To start turning things right side up. Things have been turned upside down by sin, and the kingdom of God is coming to turn things back to the way God intended them to be. And Jesus calls his disciples into partnership with him to bring his kingdom here on earth as it exists in heaven. Part of our daily prayer life should include asking God to expand his kingdom in this world. We come to church every Sunday and we talk a lot about the requests that are on our minds, and those are all legit. But Jesus taught us to pray. On your priority list should be praying for the kingdom of God to come into this world on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are asking God to allow the kingdom to come into the world through me. You're basically praying, "God, make me a vessel, make me a channel through which your kingdom can come into this world. May your kingdom come into this world through me." That feels a little hefty, doesn't it? There's a little bit of responsibility when we know that, yes, God is breaking through into the world and he's writing things, but he's doing it through his people. So when you pray your kingdom come, you're praying, "May it come in my life." You ever heard the phrase, "We're going to blow it to kingdom come"? You know, when we pray your kingdom come in our lives, we're basically saying, "Lord, blow up everything that's my agenda and make it your agenda. Make my agenda your agenda. Let your kingdom come through me." All of us play a role. Every single one of us is called to bring the kingdom into our little corner of the universe. Guess what? The kingdom of God is not going to enter into your corner of the world unless you pray it in.
That's right.
Think about the reality of that. It's as disciples of Christ, it's our responsibility to pray the kingdom of God into our little neighborhood, into this neighborhood of Maplewood, into your neighborhoods. We're all good neighbors in the kingdom, right? See how this all connects together? We're praying in the kingdom of God. And you say, "Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. That's not my spiritual gift. That's not my aura. I that's not my job." And I say, not true. You have a job. You have a role. Jesus commanded his disciples to pray every day, "Your kingdom come in my life, here on earth as it is in heaven." God has a kingdom. It's not here yet. It needs to be prayed into the world. Third point this morning, praying your kingdom come is an acknowledgement of God's rulership in your life. Praying your kingdom come is an acknowledgement that God is the king, that God sits on the throne of your heart. We talked about this a couple of moments ago. When we pray your kingdom come, we pledge allegiance to God. We pledge our allegiance and our loyalty to God. But what does that mean? So I love trite phrases, and I love to ask questions about trite phrases, because so often we're just comfortable with saying, "Well, I said it." But what does it really mean to pledge our loyalty and our allegiance to God? As people who submit to the rulership of God through Jesus Christ, praying your kingdom come is a very personal thing. Lord, may your kingdom come in my life. Father, may you sit on the throne of my heart. You are my king. You are my king. I pledge my loyalty and my life to you. It's the very least I can do in return for what you have done to purchase my salvation. In an earthly kingdom, good citizens are loyal to the king, right? It works. It's a great metaphor. In an earthly kingdom, good citizens are loyal to the king. In the kingdom of God, how are we loyal? How are we loyal to God? Well, we're loyal when we submit everything in our lives to him. He has paid the steepest price to win our salvation by giving what was most important to him, his son, Jesus Christ, to purchase our salvation. And in return, when we recognize the steep price that has been paid for me to be redeemed, well, then I want to submit everything I have to God. That means all I have, all of my time, not just 10%. You know, we have this conversation in church about, you know, tithing and things like that. And tithing's an Old Testament concept. You know, New Testament concept of tithing is give until God tells you to stop giving. Ouch, Pastor. Give all of your time, all your talent, all your money. We give all we have. What it means to be loyal to God is submitting all that we are. I have dreams. I have plans. I have hopes. I know what I want to accomplish in my life. But when I am a subject of the kingdom of God and I recognize what he's done to purchase my salvation, I turn over my plans and my agenda and the things that I want to accomplish over to him, and I allow him to fill it. And you know what I found, folks, is when I give up my agenda, he fills it with so many better things.
That's right.
You know, the devil tells us, oh, you don't want to give that up. That's rightfully yours. You know, that dream you have or that future, God has given me bigger dreams. He's given me better dreams. He's given me a bigger vision and a better vision than the tiny vision that I could have had for my own life. And the devil tries to fool us and, oh, you don't want to give that up. The devil wants you to dream small. The enemy wants to keep you contained. The enemy wants to keep all of us in our little ice cube container so that we're really not interacting with each other and being effective. He wants you to dream small so that he can keep the kingdom small. But when we submit our lives to God and we give our all to him and we give our agenda to him, he busts open the ice container, folks. He breaks the ice mold and he makes the possibility for the dreams and what he can and wants to do for our lives so much bigger than what we could ever have imagined.
Amen.
Have you caught God's vision for your life? Have you captured God? I'm not even talking about for Maplewood. I'm talking about, have you captured God's vision for your life? You're like, oh, I'm too old. I'm outdated. There's no room for any more vision in my life, Pastor Joe. No, 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 no. As long as we're breathing, as long as we're living, as long as we have the ability to pray, your kingdom come. We have the ability to be conduits of a bigger vision in our lives that includes the building of the kingdom of God. Folks, when we hold back, when we start strapping things down on the deck of the ship, so they don't get swept away by God's will. I want to strap this down because I really don't want God to have that. I'll say it's his, but I'm putting straps on it so he can't take it. You know, when we hold back, God holds back. That's kind of a tough word to hear this morning. But if we're holding back and not trusting him with our whole lives, he's going to hold back from blessing us in the ways that he wants to bless us. When we pledge allegiance to God, when we say, your kingdom come in my life, are we just paying it lip service? Or are we really, truly understanding what we're saying? And as we say those words, your kingdom come in my life on earth as it is in heaven, It is a solemn, holy commitment, a pledge of allegiance to the Almighty God who has purchased my salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, and has given me new life, new hope, new joy, new power, and a new purpose in my walk. Finally, praying your kingdom come. When we pray that simple phrase, you didn't know we could pack that much into just three words, your kingdom come, right? When we pray your kingdom come, that is a direct request. That is a direct petition to God that more people would come to know Him as a personal Savior. You get that? When we pray your kingdom come, it is a request that other men, women, and children get saved. Get right with God. Come into a personal relationship with Him. The Lord's Prayer is an evangelistic prayer. You know, I just thought it was a memory verse, Pastor. The Lord's Prayer is an evangelistic prayer. Why? Because Jesus wants His followers to stay aligned with the primary purpose of His kingdom. I'm going to say that again. The Lord's Prayer keeps us aligned with the primary purpose of the kingdom. You know, we don't come here on Sunday morning to entertain each other. Although, the thespians that were up here this morning were quite incredible, weren't they? They did a great job. We don't come to church to entertain or impress. We're not here to raise money. That is not the purpose of the church. By the way, we thank you for the generosity that you express to support the ministry of this church through your tithes and your offerings. But that's not the main reason we come together here. We don't come here for the fellowship. We enjoy the fellowship, right? But we're not a social club. We're not a social club. We're not here as a self-help program. The church is not a self-help program. Yes, we enjoy great worship. Yes, we're able to accomplish a lot when we bring our resources together and pool them together. This church gave more than $13,000 to world missions outside of Springfield last year. That's awesome. That's great, but it's not we don't come to take your money. Yes, we enjoy great fellowship with one another. One of the biggest potlucks is happening today in Indianapolis with General Assembly. You know, I mean, we like to get together. This church in particular, Pastor Vicki and I have noticed, this church enjoys fellowshipping with one another. You love each other. We love you, and we love fellowshipping with you. But I'm telling you, folks, if we think the fellowship is the main purpose, we've missed the boat. We've missed the boat. Yes, we support and pray for each other through our ministry, but let's make no mistake about this morning. Our primary purpose, our reason for existing, the church exists to build God's kingdom. That's right. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. It's an evangelistic prayer. Our primary reason for existing is making men and women and children aware of God's love for them. And that no matter how bad or how horrible they think they've screwed up in the past, there is grace. And there is mercy and there's redemption. There's a new life. There's hope and there's peace that we can have that we've never experienced before. And that every man, woman, and child can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the primary purpose of the church. All these other things that happen are great. They're byproducts. They're byproducts of a wonderful church. But the main reason is to spread the word, to spread the good news. When we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying, Lord, your kingdom come across my country. Lord, we need your spirit to move. We need men, women, and children. We need your kingdom to come across the country and across the world. May your kingdom come, Lord, through our missionaries. May your kingdom come, Lord, through the leaders in the denomination of the church. And guess what? May your kingdom come in other denominations. This isn't a competition. We don't hold a monopoly on the gospel of Jesus. We should be praying for the other denominations in our country too. Like I said earlier, we have General Assembly going on right now over in Indianapolis, and we have people from all over the world gathered together. Thousands and thousands of people for the past several days and all the way through this next week. And just to kind of, I'm actually posting the live stream for the services in the evening on our Facebook page. 7 o'clock every night, they're having services. And when they're broadcasting, I'm making sure I'm pushing it out there. And the past couple of nights, we've listened to some of the services. They've been incredible. The Spirit's moving in Indianapolis as the church united globally of the Nazarene is getting together in Indianapolis for its quadrennial convention. Your kingdom come across my country, across my world. When you pray your kingdom come every day, Lord, you should be praying for our missionaries. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Not just here, but across the world, that they may be used by God. When we pray your kingdom come, we're praying, Lord, in my community, in Springfield, Ohio, in Clark County, may people be stirred to seek you and directed to find you as wonderful Redeemer. When you pray that every day, your kingdom come, we're praying for God's kingdom to come. And pray for your community. Pray that God's kingdom would come in our community, that revival would break out, and that the Holy Spirit would be able to move and people would be able to find redemption and peace through a relationship with Christ. When we pray your kingdom come, we pray, Lord, may your kingdom come through Maplewood Church of the Nazarene. May your kingdom come. And this week, you know how you can pray? Lord, may your kingdom come through Vacation Bible School. May your kingdom come through the ministry that we put together with the silly skits and the games and the prizes and the stickers. You know, those are all means to an end to introduce children and maybe others to the reality of this relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. Your kingdom come in my country, my world. Your kingdom come in my community. Your kingdom come in my church. Your kingdom come in my life. Your kingdom come through my life. Show me opportunities, Lord, today to share the gospel with others. Lord, your kingdom come. Open my eyes to the reality of your kingdom, which is not seen, but which you want to manifest in my world around me. Show me the opportunities to jump in, Lord, and minister to other people. You know, I don't know about most of you, but I don't go through my week planning on witnessing to somebody. What I find is these conversations about God, they just kind of pop up on my radar screen and they're never on my calendar. How inconvenient. They're never on my calendar. But I find these opportunities pop up, and if I'm not praying with the mindset of your kingdom come, sometimes I miss them. Sometimes if I'm not praying your kingdom come and my heart's not in the right posture, that I'm like, I'm too busy. I don't have time to have that conversation right. And I'll tell you what, as your pastor, it's happened to me before. It's happened to me before. We all need to pray and align our hearts around the coming of God's kingdom personally in our lives. May your kingdom come through me. Does our church, does it align with the primary purpose of the kingdom, which is winning the souls of men and women and children? Are we stirred? Folks, are we stirred in our hearts with a passion for the lost? I get concerned that we get so caught up in the activities and the programs of the church that we have lost our passion for the lost. We pay it lip service. We say the right words. But are our hearts really stirred and moved to tears because we see lost, needy people all around us? Are we stirred in our hearts, or are we apathetic? Have we become jaded? Have we become calloused? Does the task seem so insurmountable? Does the world seem so flipped upside down by sin that it just seems impossible to right-size it again? Are our hearts stirred, or are we apathetic? Are we truly locked in to praying, "Your kingdom come, God"? I don't know how, but I know you can do this. God said he can move mountains. You know, if we ask with the right intent and our hearts are aligned with the purpose of his kingdom, may his kingdom come in our lives. It's a choice we all have to make. It's a choice we make every day when we pray, "Your kingdom come." And so my question this morning is God not just the king in title, but does he truly reign in our hearts? Not just lip service, but heart service. Is God the king of your life? He can be. He can be. You can ask Jesus into your heart this morning. Receive him as personal Savior. Make him your king. Recognize the price that he has paid to save you. He can be the king of your life. Is God the king of your life? Is the central purpose of the kingdom of God the central purpose of my life? Or do I have other things I'm distracted by? I've got other plans. Is the central purpose of the kingdom the central purpose of my life? It can be. My prayer is that God would continue to, and I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but this is the way I'm praying for y'all. My prayer is that God would put a burden on the hearts of the people of Maplewood for the lost in a way that we've never felt it before. I am praying for a burden to be put on not only your heart, but on my heart. Because, folks, what we actually believe turns into action. And if we truly are moved by the belief that men and women need Jesus, we're going to act on that belief. I'm praying that we have a burden put on our hearts for the lost people that we can influence in our community. Final question this morning: are the priorities of the kingdom our priorities? They can be. Every day as we pray, "Your kingdom come in my life on earth as it is in heaven," we remind ourselves what's most important. When you pray, "Your kingdom come," you're reminding yourself of who owns the French fries. He owns the French fries, folks. God is the provider. He is our Savior. And I need to remind, as your pastor, I need to remind myself every day that I need to align my priorities with his priorities. I don't know about you, but every day I've asked you to be praying the Lord's Prayer since we began this series. And I hope you're taking that seriously. I want you to know that every day, save maybe one, I've prayed the Lord's Prayer since the beginning of this series. And I, you know, there was one day this week where I was like, I didn't feel like it. I'll be really honest with you. I just was busy. I was distracted. I was kind of agitated. And, you know, God said, "Joe, you need to pray." And so I'm driving to work And I started praying, but I had music on, and it was distracting me. And I realized that I wasn't going to break through unless I made the direct connection. So I turned the music off, and I just started praying the Lord's Prayer. And it's amazing how, you know, you can say the Lord's Prayer in about 30 seconds. But I prayed the Lord's Prayer for about 45 minutes on my drive to work. And I needed that so bad that day. I was able to connect with God and align my heart with the heart of our Father. And I'm asking you folks to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Use it as the guide in your prayers. Father, we love you this morning. We hallow your name. This morning, Father, we recognize that we stand on holy ground. Father, this morning we thank you for what you've done for us. And we thank you, Father, for the purchase of our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray your kingdom come in Maplewood, in our lives. We pray, Father, that your kingdom would come in Springfield, that a great revival would break out in this broken community that so badly needs to know the love and the grace and the mercy and the peace that comes from Jesus. Lord, we pray for our General Assembly today, that your kingdom would come in Indianapolis this morning as our brothers and sisters from across the world gather to worship. We pray, Father, that your kingdom would come there, that your kingdom would come in churches all across our community and the world this morning as people gather to worship you. Father, we pray that your will would be done in our lives. Lord, help us to see and understand your will for our individual lives. Some are seeking, some are asking questions, some are trying to discern the path. But Father, we pray today that your will would be done in our lives on earth as it's being done in heaven. Father, we pray that you give us this day our daily bread. Father, give us what we need today to accomplish your will in our lives. Lord, provide for our physical needs. I pray, Father, that you would provide for our spiritual needs, for our emotional needs today. Lord, you are sufficient for everything that we need in our lives. We pray that you give us our daily bread. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Give us a forgiving heart this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to see ourselves through your eyes. We are people that need forgiveness. We are people that receive forgiveness. We are people who have been gifted with grace and mercy and forgiveness. May we be turning that around and paying that forward in forgiveness in our lives through our relationships. Indeed. Lord, I pray this morning that you would lead us not into temptation. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to not go negative. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to take the high road and stay on the high road and choose goodness and righteousness and to resist any of the tempter's snares that come before us. And Father, I pray this morning that you would protect us from the evil one. I pray, Father, for your protection, a hedge of protection around this church this week. Yes. I pray that you keep everybody safe coming to and fro and that you keep our children safe as they participate in the ministries here. I pray for everybody in this room today that you'd keep us safe out of harm's way. Would you protect us from the devil's snares? Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.